Hey everyone, welcome to The Boundless Show. This is Lisa Anderson. Great to have you here as always. Later on in the show, we're going to have an inbox question answered by one of our counselors, Roberta, about counseling a friend who's in a pretty toxic relationship. What should you do? Then for our culture segment, we have Craig Groeschel back here to talk about divine decision making. What does it look like? There are decisions that you could be actually making right now and moving forward that are key decisions with God's help. Well, here we are for our roundtable, and I get to welcome Jenny, Brandon, and Jake. Hey, guys.
What a
Hello.
Hello.
Great to have you. Hello. Okay, well, I was telling you before we started taping that this topic today is near and dear to my heart because I've just had a few revelatory experiences around it. And this is one episode that I'm hoping my family is not going to listen to because we're going to need to just break it down and keep it real right here.
Does your family normally listen?
They, you know, once in a while. It's really weird. I have to be nervous because I don't feel like they do regularly, and then all of a sudden someone posts something on Facebook and my sister's like, oh, I listened to that show and why did you say that about me? So it's really very touch and go. Yeah. So, but I want to talk about this idea of breaking generational patterns of whether it's straight up sin, whether it's just dysfunction, whether it's just things that you have assumed in your life were normal and now you're discovering they're not. My friend and I were having this conversation because we're going through Beth Moore's Breaking Free study, which I would highly recommend if you guys haven't done this yet. It's not only for ladies, people. Anyway. We were going through it and there was something around like conflict that we were supposed to be talking about in one of the studies. And I have long known that my friend's family, because sometimes they have visited and this has played itself out, they're like just fighters. So like I'm there and I would think that these people don't know me. And so they're going to just act super polite and then behind closed doors, just go at it and do what they need to do. Oh no, they're just fighting right in front of me. And I'm like, why is your family so angry? Like what's going on? Why are they just yelling? Well, then I realized in light of that, that my family is super passive, heading towards passive aggressive. And that when we get in conflict, we just backstab and do all other manners of nuttiness. So both are maybe opposite ends of the spectrum, but neither are healthy. And so it just made me want to, naturally, I thought of the three of you to bring in here to talk about the ramifications.
Thanks for throwing my family under the bus just now.
Ramifications.
This friend's family, a.k.a. Jake.
Now, we know you have much more to bring to the table, Jake, from your own family.
This is true.
But I thought it would be great because it's so funny because I think a lot of our listeners out there, young adults, would think, oh, you know, I'm just in my 20s or whatever. I'm still pretty much a clean slate or I haven't made a lot of horrific decisions in my life or whatever. And it's kind of like you don't know what you don't know. Like your normal is your normal. And so I want to just talk with all y'all today about just things that have cropped up in our life where we've realized, and maybe some of them you haven't totally identified where they're sourced out of yet, but what you really have had to grapple with in just moving into adulthood and having to relate to others and what that's looked like. So give us a little, you know, a capsulated photo of maybe your family. Like, what do we need to know about just your family history and what you inherited, good, bad, and ugly in various you know, what you're willing to share. Various,
all of a sudden, this just turned into an episode of Maury.
<Right. laughs>
It's like, are you your own grandfather? Tell us about that.
I was going to beat around the bush and be like, but I'm like, you know what? We only got 20 minutes, people. Right. So just put it on the table. Brandon, what's up?
What's up? Let's see. I think the biggest thing that I feel like I've inherited is worry. Mm. That crazy, and it goes back. My mom's side, it just, I tell people I come from a long line of warriors, and that has played out in my life pretty significantly in a number of different ways. But I think it can be pretty insidious sometimes, and it's almost, I feel like sometimes it's almost just a default reaction. Like I've seen how my mom has reacted, how her family has reacted to things, and that you just jump to worrying. You know, it's just kind of the way that you deal with it. But as I've walked through my engagement, I've seen, you know, as you were mentioning, you know, kind of never really seeing how your family was really truly messed up until you've been with someone else that can point those things out for you. And that's been a learning experience just even in the last 6-7 months of seeing things through my fiance's eyes and realizing, wow, my family is like kind of screwed up, you know?
Apparently she's unwilling to point them out to you.
Wow. And it was, and because I grew up, it wasn't weird to me because that's what I was used to. But I'm seeing behaviors now that I'm like, oh, wow.
Yeah. No, we always eat dinner with tinfoil hats.
Right.
Well, how give us an example of how you saw worry manifest in your, like, through your mom or in your family.
I worry just a lot of little things. It's interesting how, that scripturally we're told just to rely on God, and, you know, worry is really counterproductive, and mm-hmm. there's really no benefit to it. But I just always saw when something was wrong in the family, like, you know, lost a job, like, it just, especially my mom, she would just start worrying. Mm. Like, oh, what are we going to do? What's going to mm-hmm. happen? You know, and it was just that she would just jump into that mindset and kind of get away from really just leaning back and trusting in God. And so I've seen that in my life where I have a hard time just keeping my hands off of a situation and just letting mm-hmm. it play out. I'm thinking about it, I'm trying to figure out how to fix it or what to do rather than just kind of trusting God. So, and I know it's easier said than done, but yeah. it's been a big thing for me.
That's interesting. I wonder if anyone has ever levied this against you, because I remember a pastor one time saying that in the Greek, the words "do not" and "do not be anxious about anything" are the same word that's used for "do not sin." So it's that much of a command.
Right.
So deal with that, Brandon.
I mean, the one I hear dropped a lot now is that it's like one of the most often repeated commands mm-hmm. in Scripture. Mm-hmm. Do not worry. Do not be afraid. Yeah. Do not fear.
Yeah.
So apparently we need that reminder a lot.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. How about
you're not
you, Jake?
Alone. Oh my gosh, guys. let's just, we're going to get real here. And this podcast is about to go 3 hours.
And let's just get real about your stuff. Don't bring your wife into this until she can defend herself. Okay. He was all telling us beforehand, like, oh, my wife, there's my wife's family.
Yeah,
and there's
jacked up, yo. No. So this is something I think. So when we're in junior high and high school, and we first realize that our parents are idiots, and that they're screwed up and that they have issues, and we're still having trouble understanding that we are, mm-hmm. we get angry, right? Mm-hmm. and we think, man, they're the worst, and they do all these terrible things, and I'm never going to be like that because I'm the best, and I got this figured out, and I got this on lock. And then you become an adult, and you go through this phase where all of a sudden you realize all those same things. It's not new. You're like, yeah, I've known this since high school. But all of a sudden you're really empathetic because you're like, I am exactly all of these things. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even realize it. Mm-hmm. And this became very real for me recently. In my family, there is a piece of property, a ranch that has been in the family for two generations now, would be going on three in the next generation. And it has caused so much heartache and so much pain and division of relationships. And it's kind of been the centerpiece that has caused all this dysfunction in the family. And so much so that, you know, people can't even talk to each other. And so now there's this generation of us that would be the third generation to take this piece of property. But the generation before us just wants to get rid of it. Most of them are just sick of it. It's just caused so much strife. And so we actually, a couple of us from my cousins and I were talking, man, we love this property though. Because for us, we grew up on this together as a family of cousins who loved each other in spite of all this other garbage that was going on. And we said, what if we presented a different vision for what this ranch could be as a family unifier rather than a family divider? We got really excited about it. And we're like, all right, let's start presenting this to the necessary people who hold power. And it just went pretty poorly. Hmm. And we realized that the divisions were a lot stronger than we realized. And that really hurt our own hearts. Like in the conversation where we had to come back and realize how strong these generational things have gone from the first generation to the second generation, now threaten even the third generation and the relationships we've built up. Family dysfunction over money, over property. Like mm-hmm. it's a tale as old as time. And here we are thinking we're all enlightened mm-hmm. and we've got this figured out. And we're like, we're going to do this right. And we're going to do it. We're going to draw people together. And now we're sitting here thinking, I have no idea what to do about this. Yeah. It seems like this generational pattern of greed, of selfishness, of distrust is too strong. And so I'm actually in the middle of wrestling with that right now of how do I deal with this in my own heart, in my relationships with my family members who I think are handling this wrong, but yet I don't know what the right way forward is either.
Mm-hmm. Man, I have heard that said. In fact, where I've seen families, and I've heard it said that like families are all normal and loving and getting along and all about just ministry and blessing others until someone dies and there's money there.
Yeah.
And then people go full on bonkers, like crazy. Like, you know, it's like a game changer and you don't realize that all this is like latent and it rises up, you know, within us. It's just sin nature. Jenny, how about you?
Well, you know, I'm just sitting here thinking about it. Like, I've never actually thought about this. I'm still pretty young, I'd like to think, as a 20-year-old. But
you're one of those 20-year-olds that I was like, no, nothing's wrong in my life. Everyone's just getting along.
Right. Mm-hmm. But I guess since going to college, it's kind of showed up more that I come from a family where you get what you want, and if you don't and you get offended, then you let somebody know some way, shape, or form, whether it's, I'm not going to talk to you, or I'm going to tell so-and-so that you did this and get them on my side and start a big family feud. Mm-hmm. In some ways, it can be a good thing. I remember once I was shopping with my friend, and she, we had found these really nice jean jackets, and they were on a $5 rack, and she went to go check out. And it rang up as $21. And I was like, either she gets it for $5 or we walk. And and they gave it to her for $5.
Oh, my God.
And so, like, straight. That time it came in handy. But, like, when it comes to, like, trying to be relational with your family, it doesn't really work.
Yeah.
And so I guess I've just, and I learned that after going to college and trying to make friends. And in some ways where they've offended me in some way, shape, or form. And I've, you know, either called them out on it in a not so pretty way or... Mm-hmm. Have easily just drawn out of the relationship where I'm like, well, they did this to me, so I don't want to be associated with them, or even to the point of, I don't want to say gossip, but like trying to get other people on my side. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I can really see that.
That's so funny because, and I think there are so many ways that we spiritualize that too, because we're like, oh, no, girl, you just need boundaries. It's okay.
Right.
It's good because you just have to, you know, you don't need those toxic people in your life, or you don't need. And so we just think like it's okay to get crazy on people and be like, no, you didn't give that to me, or you didn't meet my demands, or you didn't behave in the way I expected you to behave. Mm-hmm. And so as a result, I'm just going to cut you off, or I'm going to do. In my family, it's become the, and it was so funny how I saw myself getting sucked into this. I tried to make this attempt to just address something with a sibling. And next thing I know, I had three other siblings calling me, okay, well, you really hurt her feelings. And why did you? And I'm like, how did this all of a sudden get around? And now I'm the one that's like the bad guy. And I have to, you know, and finally I had to have a conversation with all my siblings and be like, I'm going to deal with issues with the person with whom I have the issue. And it was like I was writing some weird, like, you know, Sanskrit type of document or something that no one had ever heard. Like, what? We're actually going to talk to the person who's involved? What? And so, yeah.
You're supposed to hold prayer meetings behind their backs.
Yeah. We're supposed to all, like, discuss how to fix them without them being there. You know, and it's funny because I think we're so in that we try to be protective of, and one of the things I've been learning in the study I've been doing is how it seems like in dealing with this stuff, we become very protective of the tribe or the reputation. And we're trying to keep, it's like we know there's all that going on, but we don't want others to know the cracks in the armor or whatever, the, you know, the facade to break. And so, in fact, I remember, I think it was a paraphrase of some sort where Beth Moore said, truth is more important than loyalty. And so rather than, you know, putting up all these hedges and trying to act like everything's okay, or trying to preserve really in effect the lie or the lies going on in the relationship and the situation, sometimes you have to be the one that draws the line in the sand and says, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to continue these patterns. And so often in families, it can be patterns of abuse, it can be alcoholism, it can be relational dysfunction, it can be a number of things, but we're so afraid to let that stand out. So how did you even have a realization that something maybe had to change, or, you know, years down the road, this would get to, you know, basically start killing relationships, killing people, killing, like even Brandon's case, you know, your own dependence upon God on a daily basis and kind of paralyzing you?
Yeah, I think for me it was coming to a point where when I finally recognized that a sin that I was struggling with had a generational component to it, that this wasn't just me, it was something my father struggled with, and I was like, well, why didn't you ever talk to me about it? And I think that's part of what helps these sorts of patterns pervade is that then when we struggle with it, we feel like we're now unable to help the next generation with it, because it's like, I have no leg to stand on. I've screwed up in this area so many times, so who am I to say anything, when that's the very reason we need to say things? And I think that's part of this weird dichotomy that we find ourselves in family, is we want to try to preserve unity, and we think we have to do that by keeping up that facade, like you were talking about, instead of dealing with the truth to try to be that chain breaker in that sense. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that I'm thinking through right now is, all right, I don't like how this was handled before me, but yet I see my own temptation to do the exact same thing, mm-hmm. to avoid this because I don't want to smear someone's name unnecessarily, or I don't want to be too vulnerable myself, or I don't want to admit that I've had a problem with this, or I'm ashamed that I've had a problem with this, and so now I'm going to be completely ineffective in passing, you know, any wisdom on down to my own kids. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something we actually have to wrestle with head on, but I don't think we want to, because it is hard to admit these problems in our own families. Mm-hmm. Because it is people we're close to, and there can be a lot of drama tied up into that.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. I guess I would kind of go off of that, where it's identifying the lie, and then once you identify that lie and you identify, like, what's the problem, it's not just like, oh, I know the truth too, so, like, I'm free, like it says in John chapter 8, but it's taking action on that truth. It's drawing that boundary line. It's saying, in my instance, it's saying that I don't always deserve what I want. Like, I grew up with just my sister and I, with my mom, who's single. And we got a lot of things that we wanted, even though my mom had, we had one income in, we got everything that we wanted. And I guess that wasn't probably the best because of this generational issue that I have, am dealing with. But it's saying that, like, okay, maybe I don't have to have this attention from this person, or maybe they don't have to give me exactly what I'm looking for in this relationship, but to kind of, like, lower your pride, humble yourself, and recognize that maybe it's you that needs to take the action in order to cancel out that lie that the enemy's throwing mm-hmm. in your way.
Well, and it's almost like looking at the root lie there, Jenny. It's almost like you're right. saying it's this belief that... you know, kind of that born out of whatever. I mean, I think it was played into from feminism and from everything, this whole, I'm worth it, I deserve it. If I don't fight for my rights, who's going to fight for me? And so we're like clawing for everything we can get because we don't trust a giver who truly gives us all good things, right. all the things that we think that if we don't, you know, take care of ourselves, who's going to step in and take care of us? And that, man, I've seen that play out for me. That's for sure.
Yeah. At an individual level, for me, it took literally a medical diagnosis to realize what it was doing to my body, and just the time I was spending just focusing strictly on that, in that sense almost alienating myself from a relationship with God. I know chapel last week, you know, the speaker was talking about so much of the time we want to build our identity on something and not receive it through a relationship with Christ. And that's so true. You know, the worry, I think if I looked at it every time, I could point it to something that I either wanted or didn't have, or it was an identity that I was wanting to build for myself. And knowing that that's going to fade, that's going to fail. And then just seeing the effects of it in my life, and just the stress and the anxiety and just all of that, going like, what's the point? It's not worth it. It's still an issue. It hasn't just gone away, but I can see it and take a step back rather than just letting, you know, going over the edge in the barrel and just going through, because it's cyclical. It'll be the same. If I let myself go down the path, it'll be the same thing, same time frame, all of it. And it's like, I can't do it.
So what are you guys doing actively? And we've got to wrap here, but what are you doing actively now to continue breaking those cycles? So like for me, I just assumed, oh my goodness, I just had this revelation. I'm going to go sit down with every one of my siblings and just tell them how amazing this is. And they're going to be like, thank you for telling us. That's so great. Now let's all totally act differently. And that has not happened. Oh my goodness. It's been like, I feel like it's with a 2-year-old where you're constantly saying the same thing over again. And finally I'm like, no one's listening to me. And I thought it was, you know, I had so much to share. But what's worked for you guys?
I'll get back to you in a couple of decades and let you know. Because I'm trying to figure that out.
Something needs to happen with this property. I don't know. But it's funny because you would think, oh, that's the problem. But it's not. If it's you didn't have the property, there'd be something else you guys would be squabbling over.
Right. And I think that's what has been a hard thing to realize and where I am still trying to figure out what the practical application is. Mm-hmm. Because now I'm seeing different problems with my own parents, you know, these conflicts that I have the opportunity to become similar or, you know, I think, cause I think a large part of the problem is deeper issues that are not related to, like you said, that aren't related to the property. There's something behind that. And this just serves as the current flashpoint. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm observing certain cracks in relationship with like my parents that seem minor now, but because we're not talking about them, it seems like maybe there's going to be some hardening of hearts and like, and I'm worried that we may, if we don't deal with these head on right now, they can become the underlying problems that serve to really exacerbate future flashpoints in our relationship. And it's scary because I'm not entirely sure how to handle these because, you know, like you said, people don't react the same way when mm-hmm. you bring up these issues mm-hmm. and it's not always logical. You can say, hey, I think this is a problem. We're missing each other here. And you come away from that conversation with a completely different understanding than they do. And it's like, how do I move forward from here? Mm-hmm. So yeah. I think there's a level of perseverance that we have to cling to that's difficult. Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Yeah. Communication, I found, is vocalizing mm-hmm. that takes away a lot of the power that the worry has. And in a marriage, you know, that's huge to be able to mm-hmm. to share, be able to share with your spouse, and it works.
Good point.
I think if you're looking at it from my family's point of view of I'm just not going to participate in it, mm-hmm. in the drama that mm-hmm. they're doing, but then in my own personal life, I have to look at it as the scripture tells me to not have an offendable spirit. So when somebody does something that offends me, I need to take a second, take a deep breath and realize that they're probably not doing what they're doing to hurt me, or they're probably not doing it because they're realizing that it's offending me in any way, but that's just me interpreting it wrong. Mm-hmm. And so I just need to take a chill pill. mm-hmm.
And choosing to not take offense, which right. is sometimes a hard thing to
absolutely.
Do.
Absolutely.
Even if they mean offense. From I think that, yeah.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
sometimes they do, and it's like, I yes. still have to choose not to be offended.
Exactly. Awesome. Well, and there are times, folks, when really you need to get some professional help in sorting some of this out. We're not just saying, hey, sit down with the four of us and we're going to figure you out.
Nope.
Clearly, we're still working on it. So I would love to point you to focusonthefamily.com. We have got a counseling department that can, first of all, just chat with you and help you get your bearings as to where you are, and then actually provide a referral to a counselor in your area, someone who could really begin walking through with you for a season some of the things that may have been stirred up as a result of this conversation. So in the meantime, thanks, you guys, for participating.
Thank you.